This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Let's do this thing!
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
My grandmother's name was Giovanna Domenica Tavanero. When she'd get mad, she'd start spewing in Italian. I never knew what she was talking about.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Ben Pyle with a monster jam! He says in your face, Derby!
College basketball.
Kemba Walker.
Everything happening in the sports world.
LeBron James with no regard for human life.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
I mean, they'd take one look at me and they'd say, next, whatever happened to Ethel?
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Woo, let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and he is the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, it feels a little like Christmas. We are waking up on Christmas morning. We know those presents are down there underneath the tree, and those presents are sitting at the press row at the roundhouse. And we've got about 2 more hours until we are allowed to go downstairs and get to the tree. I am excited. I am ready to rock. We've got like 10 hours of basketball coming up today.
Yeah, this is your first McPherson Invitational, my 39th. That's hard to believe.
Hey, combined, we got 40. That's pretty good.
Yeah. If you go to my column at midkansasonline.com today, Sell on Sports, I talked about how these next 2 weeks are the most fun that I have all year. Now, state tournament's great, but it's just 3 days. This is 2 weeks. McPherson Invitational, it's going to be a great tournament. The Mid-America Classic will be a great tournament.
And the single game against Newton on the boys' side
right. Coming
up on Tuesday. Throw that in,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, throw that in there. But our focus right now is on the McPherson Invitational because this year's event, like I've written a couple times this week, I've been doing it 39 years. I can't recall a field that is this good from top to bottom. I mean, the sixth seed could possibly win the tournament. That's how deep it goes. I think there's a couple teams probably can't win it, but there's 6 legitimate championship contenders, and of course McPherson High, the number 1 seed, Lawrence Free State, the number 2 seed, but it's the number 1 ranked team in Class 6A.
Well, we will dive into that a little bit later on in the show and go through the bracket entirely. Sort of, you'll give a little bit of your picks for what you expect to happen this week. Before we do that, let's talk about a weird night of college basketball last night. We had the Wichita State Shockers lose at home to SMU, 83-78. That was weird. I don't think anybody was really expecting
that. I didn't get to see that. I did not
that.
Get to see that game. And
Wichita State just couldn't defend
anybody.
Yeah,
when you texted me that score, I'm like, you know, it was SMU. I just figured, yeah, you know, they're home. They're not going to lose. So I really didn't pay much attention to what was going on. I was involved in my other things, but that's a bad loss for the Shockers.
Yeah.
When you look at the seeding, I mean, they're going to be in the NCAA tournament.
Their other two losses are good.
Yeah.
Notre Dame and Oklahoma.
Right, and of course, they were neutral. Even though they were in Wichita, it was a neutral site in trust. And then,
you're talking about Oklahoma.
Oklahoma loss,
yes.
And the other loss was out in Hawaii. So, you know, that's neutral site. But this is a bad loss. When it comes down, if the Shockers are in contention for that number 1 seed or number 2 seed, this is a loss that will work against them on their resume.
And I've been reading some people criticizing Wichita State recently, and one of the big criticisms has been their defense isn't really that good. And that was something we heard over and over again in the offseason, that Greg Marshall's defenses, they are always so good. And they've had a couple of games this year where they have not defended to that caliber.
Yeah, they have stretched there about 3 games in a row where I think they gave up 50 points in the first half back in December or late November. And it really is surprising when they give up that many points, given, you know, their mantras, play angry, play hard, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, everyone's going to have a bad game. Look at Oklahoma and K-State the other night. But that was more about K-State, and this was more about SMU. From everything I read about the game, SMU just shot the lights out. Sometimes you catch a team on a hot night, and they just fill it up.
The other interesting game last night, well, it's not that interesting. We talked about it on the show yesterday. Texas Tech playing at Texas, and the Longhorns, they have worked the script perfectly as they beat Texas Tech. And Steve, I think people are starting to figure out how the Big 12 works.
Yeah.
And how this year is going to play out, because 3 weeks ago, people were jumping off the top of Allen Fieldhouse depressed. They were going, this team is going to be terrible. We're not going to win the Big 12. KU is on top of the Big 12.
By themselves.
With only having to pick up one win this week.
Yeah.
Everybody else lost.
And we're a third of the way through the season. This marked the 33 and a third percent poll through the season. KU's right there. And a lot of factors played out this week. And here they are again at the top of the standings. Now, it's shaky. I think the ground below them is trembling a little bit. But as of right now, the Jayhawks alone in first.
So I was thinking about this last night, Steve, and this was the theory I mentioned earlier today. So I think there's a perception in this area, and this theory comes out a lot, that the Big 12 is the best basketball conference by far. And I started to think about that last night, and it made me scratch my head. And I'm not saying they're not, but it's weird to me to think that this is the best Big 12, this is the best conference that there is, when every time you watch KU play, everybody sits around and goes, this team is terrible.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, they have all these flaws.
Well, TCU can't win. You've got four teams in the top 10 right now from the Big 12, but that's going to change because these teams are going to start taking turns knocking off each other. You're going to see somebody with maybe possibly four losses, you know, win the Big 12. And I hold to the contention there's going to be a tie. I really believe that. I think somebody's going to tie. Might be KU and OU. Might be KU, West Virginia, OU, West Virginia. And don't count out K-State. The Wildcats are sneaking back up there. They're only two games back. We still have 12 games to go. Two games is nothing. As long as K-State keeps winning at home and then starts maybe stealing one here or there on the road, K-State's going to be right there.
But to me, to sit around and say the Big 12 is by far the best basketball conference seems really weird this year.
Yeah.
Because Baylor, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State, who normally boost the resume of this conference, are terrible.
They're not good. They're about the three worst teams.
Then you look at TCU, who a month ago everybody was thinking, TCU, they might win the whole thing. They're TCU.
Yeah.
They're not going to win. I mean, they are already almost out of it at 2-4 in the league. Then West Virginia, they appear to be about the same that they are every single year. Texas Tech is a little bit of the wild card.
But I just don't think
they can withstand going into even some of the bad plays, going into Stillwater and winning
Hilton
games
Magic.
Like there. Going to Iowa State is not easy. And then KU, it's hard to sit here and say, this is the best conference when everybody rips the best team.
Yeah.
And so if
I think you got to put the ACC maybe up there.
And I think the top of the Big Ten is very good. Purdue is playing like the number one team in the country. Michigan State has been there at one point. Michigan has rattled off about 12 wins in a row. Ohio State, they're 7-0 of the Big Ten. Now, the bottom of the Big Ten, a little rough.
They got 14, 15 teams.
And that's what makes it hard.
Yeah.
Is that some of those teams are going to really suffer. And that's part of the argument for why the Big 12 is one of the best, because they have 10 teams. And none of them are really bad. And maybe that's a part of it. But the ACC, if you were going to ask me, I would think would have to be the better top half. Because they're the same way. I think they have like 16 teams. And so the bottom, it gets a little bit murky. But Virginia's 16-1. Louisville, even with all the problems they've had with Rick Pitino, they're still doing all right. Duke is good. They've only lost twice. But you want to play Duke or North Carolina or Clemson? You don't want to play those teams. So I think the ACC is pretty good. And this is not a knock on the Big 12. But it's funny to me, and this is the same thing last year, that I really didn't believe in very many of the other teams in the Big 12 last year. I knew KU would win. I thought Baylor would hang around and be okay. And I thought West Virginia would do about what they always do. Every other team I wasn't really in on. But this year, I think it's better than it was last year. But it's funny to go, this Big 12, it's the best conference of basketball. And how many national sports writers would put KU as one of the best teams right now?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah. Well, I got it. For what it's worth, I got a text from Wilson.
Wilson.
We haven't heard from Wilson.
Wilson. We haven't heard from Wilson since football season.
Wilson says Big 12. Go Big 12. So Wilson, Big 12 supporter.
And when you think of the other conferences, the SEC feels pretty good at the top that they're all okay, but they don't really have the one dominant team. Kentucky, even them, they're a little down. Auburn's been sneaky good. Florida's okay. The Pac-12, it is a really down year for them. Arizona, who everybody thought would be great, has had some weird losses.
Conference of champions.
Yeah. Then you look at Oregon, who had been a Final Four team 2 years in a row, or they were an Elite Eight and then a Final Four team. They're way down. UCLA without Lonzo, they're not so good. So to me, it's down to the ACC, Big 12, and Big 10. And the Big 12 poses a different challenge because of the round robin. And that's what makes that conference so tough. But do I think it's the best? I don't think so.
Okay, who do you think is the best team in the country?
I'm trying to think of what the rankings are. Villanova is the number one team, but I don't think it's them because the Big East is a little bit down. I'd probably say Duke if I was going to say,
exactly.
Who do I think will win the national championship?
Duke is the most talented team in the country.
Who would I pick second? North Carolina.
When Duke is at its best, Duke is the best team in the country. Marvin Bagley, he's just outrageous.
Grayson
Allen, shoots it really well, but's in a slump. They got a really great point guard. They got that other big guy, and that's what I like about
the guy
Duke.
That looks a lot like
Wendell
Marvin
Carter
Bagley.
Jr. So they got those two big guys are just muscling around, and Wilson just said Duke.
Hey, Wilson and I, we're on the same page.
There you go.
See, I love our listeners. They're always calling. They're always texting. We had one of them email the other day and was asking, hey, what are the ticket prices for the McPherson Invitation? Mm-hmm. So then we got that scoop out there. We enjoy the listeners. Well, Steve, we can have this discussion another day. I wanted to let you air out some grievances from the Mac College basketball games last night. You were out at the doubleheader, and it was a rough night.
What a crazy night. Okay. Mac and Bethany played last night.
The rivalry.
The Bulldogs are up 20 at the half. Now, they've been up double digits on a lot of teams lately.
Every game.
Seems like they play a great first half, but their lack of depth caught up with them. But the thing that was just unbelievable about this game last night, Bethany scores 24 points in the first half. They end up with 109. They score 61 in the second half. And then 24
in overtime.
That
is ridiculous.
That is just crazy. But it was one of those games where the theory of do you foul, you're up three, do you foul and not let them take a three-pointer right at the end. The Bulldogs did that. I thought, to me, I like that strategy.
I know some people that don't. I like
Bethany
it
Bethany makes two free throws, but the Bulldogs can't get the ball in bounds. They turn it over. They foul. And the Bethany Simpson kid makes one or two free throws. They go overtime. The Bulldogs were so shell-shocked that Bethany just ran away from them in overtime. But it was an amazing game. And one thing that is kind of sad to me, you know, I've covered this rivalry almost 40 years. There was a time you couldn't even get in the door, you know, at the Sports Center. There were so many people. Well, I know school maybe hasn't officially started. The second semester hasn't started. There is interterm. By the end of the game last night, I don't think there were more than about 75 people in the stands, which is really kind of sad because, a county rivalry. And this was an exciting game. I mean,
209 combined points.
If you were a Bulldog fan, you're just sitting there, go, clock, go. And I really felt bad for Coach Schwartzdruber. I waited around after the game and waited around. He was with his team. I was there about 15 minutes, and then he never came out, so I'm sure it was – you know, with all the difficult loss they had, I really felt bad for them.
And it's been a rough year.
Yeah,
for a lot of the games,
And the women's game was almost the same thing. Mac had a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter. Bethany storms back with 26 points in the fourth quarter and wins that game. My buddy Keith Ferguson up there, I got to say, at Bethany, he's got to get some votes for Coach of the Year. They weren't very good in his first year last year. He's almost double their win total, and they still have a lot of games left. So Fergie doing a great job. Up there in Lindsberg and Bethany College, a great hire last year when they got Keith Ferguson, who was a Bethany alum, Smoky Valley alum.
Well, it was a fun night for college basketball. Well, not as much for Mac College, but now it will be a fun weekend for high school basketball. So we will turn our attention to the McPherson Invitational that starts today, starting at 3 o'clock. We do that after the break on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, let's say somebody is listening to this show and they missed the first half and really want to hear our thoughts about things. They can listen on podcast.
Don't ask me.
SoundCloud.com/KBBE.
Sports.
You're on top of it. You're getting better.
I got so much going on in my head today with the tournament coming up and trying to figure out how I'm going to get all the other stuff covered today. We got junior high basketball going on. We got Central College basketball, area teams involved, swimming teams in Lawrence. But hey, at midkansasonline.com, we'll get her up there at some point.
It will be there. Yep. And we will also be doing live updates throughout the day from the Roundhouse. So we will call back into here. Steve and I will let you know what's going on. And I think one of the most important parts of it is that we will let you know if the games are running on schedule. Because with a big day of tournaments like this, if that first game goes to overtime where it runs long, it sets the whole day off. And so the times get all weird. So we will keep you posted on what times we're feeling like every game
starts. Yeah, if you're a tournament director, you're praying every game there's no overtime.
Yeah, and if it does, maybe the last game. That's about the only one.
But, you know, they've done a great job of staying on schedule down through the years. There's been a lot of years I get out at maybe 10 after 10 on that first night.
That would be
bad. Very seldom has there been a night that it was 11 o'clock when I got out of the Roundhouse. And of course, midkansasonline.com. I'll have stories on every game. Kendall Shaw is going to provide a photo.
K-Man,
he'll have a photo from every game. Of course, we'll have a gallery on the boys' game. Man, it starts off 3 o'clock. What a great game to start the tournament off. Derby, Bishop Carroll. If this were a football game, it'd be for a state championship because they've been, you know, the dominant programs in football in 6A and 5A.
I think that was about a 60-55 game in the football season.
Yeah, great athletes. Should be a fantastic game. Then the 4:45 game, Junction City and Lawrence Free State, the number one team in the state. I want to see their 6'5", 295-pound center.
We need to take a picture of you next to him.
Kid named Robinson. I guess he is a heck of an athlete. They've got one of the best guards in the tournament. And then the third game of the day, Shawnee Mission East taking on Wichita North. I want to see the third Jackie Johnson. Jackie Johnson the third, he's a freshman.
Do you remember the second Jackie Johnson?
I don't remember the second Jackie Johnson.
What about the first?
But I don't remember that one either. But third, I'm told, is a future star.
He's a freshman.
Yeah, he's a freshman, averaging like 23 points a game. So really looking forward to seeing that. Maybe he's going to break Connor Frankamp's records at Wichita North. Who knows? And then, of course, the Bullpups in the last game. This is no pushover game for the Bullpups. That's why I think it's imperative. Bullpup Nation needs to turn out in force tonight. Blue Valley West, they've got a sophomore center. It's about 6'8". I guess he's a blocking machine. They got one of the best guards in the tournament. And, the problem is they have to come into the Roundhouse. And that Roundhouse magic, that's pretty tough to overcome.
And you have Kendall Gammon's son that'll be playing
right.
as well.
Maybe we'll get Kendall Gammon on the air. Who knows?
We got to get Kendall on. I think he'd be a good analyst. And if we did talk to him, I would want to tell him that I've been very impressed with how well he has done in his first year as the full-time color guy with Mitch Holtis. Now, obviously, Len Dawson had been going forever as the color analyst for Mitch on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network, which we had here. So I've listened to a lot of Len, and I have listened to Kendall make the transition from sideline up into the booth. And the first couple of games, it was hard on him. And, I mean, Steve, you can attest to this. Color is really hard.
Oh, it really is.
It's really hard.
Definitely.
And once you start to figure it out and you figure out what you want to be looking at, and it's different for you because you're also doing stats at the same time, but it's hard. And I would tell Kendall, man, he's done a really good job from even the beginning of this season to the end.
Yeah. Pittsburgh State Gorilla, Kendall
Rose
Gammon.
Hill Rocket.
Yeah.
Kendall
and,
Gammon.
Yeah. And I know that. He had a great career as a long snapper. You know, you might laugh at that, but long snapping is very important. If you miss one, you're fired. Yeah, and they basically get rid of you. So Kendall Gamm has done a great job, and of course, there's nobody like Mitch Holdus, and we're just we're so happy to have Chiefs games
sweet next to the end zone.
Yeah, 96.7 have Mitch Holdus and Kendall on the air, and hopefully we'll have them again next year.
So as we look at what's coming up tonight, oh, one more point I wanted to make. I know that we say all the time, go check out the photo galleries on our website. Seriously, if you have not gone to see the pictures that Kendall Shaw takes, they are so unbelievably good. Yeah. And he's got the lights set up in the roundhouse exactly how he likes them.
He's got the strobes.
He always has the shots from underneath the rim. I mean, his pictures are so good. And to think that guy is on the floor for every single McPherson game, think about the treat for the parents they get Kendall Shaw, a guy of his photo quality.
Yeah, it's for every just fantastic. Game. And we've enjoyed our partnership with him. Hope it continues for years and years because Kendall is the man. And
K-Man.
He was probably at Wichita State last night is my guess. I haven't talked to him today. He's also one of the tournament directors for the Mid-America Classic. So he's wearing a lot of hats right now.
Yeah. Well, as we really dive into the McPherson Invitational today, the games that I'm really excited to watch, Wichita North and Shawnee Mission East, because the Bullpups will play either the winner or loser of that game, and so that one will have some direct ramifications. And I want to see this Derby Bishop Carroll game.
I do too. And Carroll, you know, Carroll has got tough kids. Now they may not be nearly as athletic as some of the other teams, but they know they've got that winning mentality at Carroll. I mean, they are winners down there, and they're going to be a great defensive team, and they can frustrate you because of how hard they play on defense.
I will be also excited to see this Free State team. I'm not as concerned about Junction City, unfortunately, but this Free State team, the weird thing about Free State athletics, Steven, that you've been around the Lawrence area enough to where you see what's happening with them. Free State is at this all-time high right now where they have all sorts of great athletes, and it started about the end of my time in high school that they started to get really good at everything. But the thing for Free State that they just have not been able to get over the hump, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, whether it's anything, Free State has not been able to finally get over that hump and win a state championship. They have been the number one seed a lot of times. And in football, they have played Derby in the sub-state round the last 3 years and maybe even the last 4 years, and they've lost every single time. So Free State is still almost to that winning mentality.
They have won an invitational title, though.
2014?
That was the last year that McPherson didn't win it. That was the year the Bullpups lost to Wichita North in the first round. When North came out, it was like 24-8 in the first quarter, made everything they looked at, and we played catch-up all night and never could quite get caught up. That's why Bullpup fans need to be at the game tonight. There are no gimmies in the first round. Blue Valley West, you know, they've got a good guard, a good big man, but the Bullpups have the best player on the court, Ben Pyle, and I always like to say, and others do, I always take my chances with the team that has the best player on the court.
This will be a great tournament for one, but is Ben Pyle one of the best, not one of the best, because the answer is yes, is he the best player in this field? That's what we will find out this week. The brown kid from Derby. Derby, he is maybe a better scorer and maybe a better shooter.
But Ben does everything.
Right.
Ben's passing.
And I think that's what makes
Ben's
him different.
Ben's passing this year is 3-point shooting. He has just raised his game to another level.
He's also assisting like 5 times
a
game.
Yeah, he gets about 5 assists because he can just see over the top of the defense. And there's no doubt in my mind he'll be the best player in the tournament.
And that'll be exciting. We will take one final break before we wrap up the show today and we continue to talk about this McPherson Invitational. And Steve will give us his predictions on what's going to happen this week at the Roundhouse. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. We got some REO Speedwagon.
Got a little REO.
We got some good news. We're still working on our tickets to get to REO Speedwagon at Styx. We don't care about the Styx. I want to see REO.
Oh,
I need to see some Kevin Cronin.
There you go.
I need to hear it. I need to feel it.
There you go.
Have you seen any live videos of those guys recently?
I haven't. Are they looking a little older?
They haven't aged great.
Okay.
But I think they still rock.
Yeah.
And so that's what we are hoping for.
Okay.
So we'll work on that. We got to get Steve and Jim to REO. That could be the newest hashtag on
there
Twitter.
You go.
Steve and Jim to REO. Well, as we get ready here in a little less than 3 hours, a little over 2 hours, for the start of this McPherson Invitational, the one point that we didn't get to make in the last segment that I wanted to make is that in tournaments like these, sometimes you see on this first day some teams try way too hard because it is a huge letdown mentally, physically, to lose this first game and know that for the next 2 days you're
sunshine
on the road,
bracket,
staying in a hotel and not playing for anything.
Right.
And so you see some teams at the beginning of these types of events really push it. And the good thing, I think, for McPherson is that they know they have to push it, but all those guys have been around these types of first games before, and every single year, all the guys on this team have won a McPherson Invitational, whether they were playing or not. They have been a part of watching teams that are there at school with them win this tournament and win that first day. And for
the
guys like Ben Pyle, Drew Labertue, Jace
Alexander.
The seniors
have never lost. They
right.
have not lost in this tournament.
So I think that's a big advantage. Now, this is the McPherson Invitational, so they obviously have that advantage. They're playing at home. They're sleeping in their own beds. There's no travel. There's no restless legs, especially because they didn't even practice one of the days this week. This is a very important night, but I think that this team understands that it's very important, but you can't press. And that's what a lot of teams probably do when
yeah.
they come in here.
Yeah, and for a lot of teams, coming into the Roundhouse, it's an experience they've never had before. So they've got to get accustomed to the Roundhouse. You know, we got the end zones that, you know, you don't have people behind the basket or anything. You got the end zone. So it's an adjustment period. Derby, that's why I kind of like Derby early because they played here this year. That's going to be an advantage for them. That'll help them in the first round. I'm not sure it's going to help them in the second round.
I have been inside the gyms of Blue Valley West, Shawnee Mission East, Free State, and I think that's it. None of those gyms have the same atmosphere as the Roundhouse does. Now, Lawrence High, they have a great atmosphere. They don't have anything on the ends like they do at some places, but the jungle, it gets nice and loud.
Yeah.
And
I can tell you, Derby, darkest gym ever been in. It is dark. It's like being at Miege when we were at Miege this year. I thought that was a dark gym. That's what Derby is, too, unless they've changed their lights since we last been down there.
So that will be an important thing, especially on this first day. And the other element that I kind of hit on, this is a travel day for all these teams. So you think of Blue Valley West, Shawnee Mission East, Free State. They are all getting in the car and sitting there with their legs all bunched up. And this is not Steve getting in the car with your, let's be honest, short legs.
Yeah.
This is not you getting in the car for a trip. These guys are 6'6", 6'8", 6'3". It's hard to ride the bus and be on it for a long time, then get out and start playing. And so a travel day, then spending the night in a hotel. Every hotel room in the city is booked right now.
Right.
That's what makes this really hard on the other teams. And that's why the Wichita schools have a break, because yeah. they don't have to travel as far.
Exactly. But I just think the four games in the first round, you're not going to see any blowouts. I just see four really good games.
And this will be a great opportunity for the Bullpup teams to scout Shawnee Mission East and Wichita North in the game ahead of them. And I know that they have all been doing some work on all three of the teams that they knew they would have a chance to play. And then you get to that Saturday, and for every team, you're playing a team that you haven't been able to prepare for very much. And that's what adds the extra element. And that's why, if it ended up being Derby and McPherson, it would be a very different championship game than normal, because they've already played each other. They know what they're going to do. And both teams, even before the season, were very familiar with the other one's personnel.
Yeah, because, you know, we played them last year down there. Derby drilled us down there, and we got the...
It's a very different team from that
year,
too.
Yeah, we extracted some revenge
on them.
Yeah, we've extracted some revenge on them. But you talk about those games on Saturday, those seventh and fifth place games. To me, that's all about want to. There's some teams, if they're in that seventh place game, they're like, I just want to get home. But the team that wants it the most generally is the team that wins in those consolation games.
And it may not seem like much in a seventh place game at the middle of January, but a win in a game like that could be the difference for some of those teams in going on the road in the first game of sub-state or playing at home. And so that's what's kind of cool about a tournament like this, is that even though on the surface it's a random tournament in the middle of January and it doesn't matter that much, it does. Well, and it's not all about the tournament championship. It's still about what happens the rest of the season.
And what these mid-season tournaments do, like the McPherson tournament, it gives teams the opportunity to play multiple games in a row like they do at the state tournament. That's what the coaches, I think, take most from the mid-season tournament. It's also your evaluation time. It's kind of, you know, remember last year McPherson arrived in this tournament. They were struggling, 6-4, got to the fork in the road. And then next thing you know, they reel off 14 in a row. But that's what these mid-season tournaments are for, is to give teams the opportunity to play three games in three nights.
Do you remember off the top of your head whether the boys at state will play Wednesday, Friday, Saturday this year, or the girls will?
I don't remember.
I can't remember off the top of my head either.
I can't, but anyway... I want to say it's the girls playing first this year, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
We'll check that out. We'll let people know about that.
And so for those teams, and the other thing that people sometimes don't understand is that teams, coaches, players, broadcasters, we get into a routine. And I know what I'm going to do every day Monday. I know what I'm going to do every day Tuesday. When it comes to a standard week with a Tuesday, Friday, you learn how to adapt when you're not playing Tuesday, Friday. Even when you go to a Tuesday, Thursday week, like the Bullpup teams will do on the last week of the year, it's different. Coaches get into their routine of what they know what to do at practice. And so that's why you hit on it. It's so important to learn what you want to do when you get ready for a state tournament with a tournament like this.
Yeah, and what better way to prepare than
Derby, Free State, Bishop Carroll, Blue Valley West.
And Chris Strathman. Loyal listener just texted me, girls play first at Stay. So, he just said Stay in anonymous. But the girls do play first at I'm sorry, Chris. I didn't mean to give you away there. I just saw.
Steve is getting rid of all of his spoilers.
Yeah.
Maybe he's supposed to be teaching or something.
I didn't mean to say that. But he is listening, and he does happen to know that this is the year the girls play on Wednesday, the boys on Thursday.
So the boys, they're getting ready for what would be at a state tournament Thursday,
exactly.
Friday, Saturday.
Exactly.
Wow, man, we got some loyal listeners out there. I like it.
We do.
Well, Steve, that will do it for our show today. We'll be back tomorrow. We get to recap the first day, but coming up here in just over 2 hours, we'll be ready to rock. The Roundhouse is going to be rocking. I don't know what the 3 o'clock crowd will be like for Bishop Carroll and Derby, but both of those schools are also close enough that they can bring a decent amount of parents. Students can say, hey, we're going to skip school for the day and drive up to McPherson. Not a bad call at all.
And I'll be out there around 2:15 if you want to come down and talk to me at any point. I'm going to be there 2:15 to 10:15, 3 days. Well, of course, Saturday schedule's a little earlier. We start earlier on Saturday. Championship game, I think, is around 7:15, 7:30. But, man, what a great 3 days it's going to be. And then next week, the Mid-America Classic, we turn around and do all this over again. And the Mid-America Classic field might be even stronger than the boys' field, if that's possible. There's ranked teams just all over the place. Not a single girls' team with a losing record.
Let's get ready to rock. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tonight at the Roundhouse.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBDE.